Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. Let's talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about it, listeners. Cole and Kate here today. We are jumping into a conversation that actually started as a blog because it is one of our most frequently asked questions, whether we get it from an email, you slide into our DMs with this question. And honestly, even when we travel and we're speaking at churches and communities, we get this question all the time. So we decided it's very important. Why not add it to our YouTube and our podcast for y'all to hear? So it's all about our story and what it meant for Cole to forgive my past. So you can find the blog as well, Forgiving Your Partner's Past. He has it broken down into the perspective, the tools, and the questions that have come in. And so now you just get to hear it live.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if you haven't heard our story, I encourage you to listen to that. Because I think it, you know, it really helps people understand how to work through this stuff. I'll be honest, even the statement, forgive your partner's past, I don't necessarily love, yeah, because it's as if you did something against me. But it's the best way we could come up, you know, it's really the best way we could frame it.
Totally.
Because there is a measure of that at play, right? Where the whole crux of this came from is in our story, to really shorten it up. Caitlin was sexually active starting in seventh grade, didn't find the Lord till she was 16.
Yep.
17.
Yeah. So about like 12 to 16.
Yeah. So we met when she was a senior in high school, went to her senior prom, dated, got married, have been married for almost 17 years now.
Yeah.
And I had never been with anybody. Never seen pornography, never said I love you to anybody, never had any type of sexual interaction at all. She's it. She's the only one in every way for me. And the closer we got to marriage, the harder the thought of her past was, especially in particular, it was a lot of oral sex. And for whatever reason in my head, that felt like, oh, I just can't deal with that. Like, I need to know what you've done and who you've done it with. And, you know, one of the things she said is, I don't even know all the guys I've been with because I was high sometimes and drunk sometimes and, you know, X, Y, Z. And so, which doesn't help, didn't help me at the time. Like, oh, you were trying to make this better. That did not help me. And we got to a point when we were probably, I don't know, 19 and 20 or something. We were probably a year and a half away from marriage, but we realized, like, this is it. I just was getting consumed with her past. And said, we need to talk. Like, I need to know what you've done and who you've been with. And so we set up a time to meet. I'll never forget what your response was. Do you remember exactly what you said?
I'll let you say it.
No,
you. Because we remember it differently.
Okay, then what do you think? What do you
it's
think
coming
your response
out
was?
Live. I remember saying, like, I just feel like when I share this with you, because I feel like a different person now, and that when I share this with you, when I'm with you, it's like I will see myself through that lens again. So reliving it, resharing it with you would feel like I'm with Cole. Oh, he sees me as that story I told rather than the me that he knows now.
You did not have that good of words at
19. I know I didn't.
For the record.
I know
so
I
that
didn't.
Is not exactly yeah. what you said. I've never asked you this, so why not do it live
wow,
on podcast?
Wow, you're getting the real stuff
how
right
did,
here,
like,
folks.
When I said, hey, let's meet, and I need to know about all of these things, like, what were you feeling? Were you feeling anxiety about it? Were you feeling... Because you said, yes, I'll do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this will be hard, but I'll do this.
Totally. Because I think I thought that was definitely a necessary part of marriage in the sense of establishing... I will keep no secrets.
Yes, which is important, which we both agree with.
Yes, no matter what, you have to establish in your relationship complete trust, like it's all on the table. So if that is something, because he knew the crux of what I had done, it wasn't just like he had never gotten the play-by-play basically.
Yeah.
And so I just knew, well, man, if that's something he desires, then, and we're going to get married, then yeah, we're going to have the conversation at some point.
Yeah. So... in between me saying, hey, let's talk about it, and us actually talking, I felt the Lord really clearly tell me his thoughts on it, which I hadn't asked those at that point. And, you know, I've always wanted to be a pastor. I used to practice preaching to my teddy bears. It's really all I've ever wanted to do. Like, I'm living my dream. And, you know, I distinctly remember the Lord saying, hey, you can't make her do this. And if you do, I can't have you be a pastor. And I thought, you know, I had this conversation with God, and I said, well, how are those two things connected? And then basically showed me that I didn't, even though I'd been raised in the church, I did not understand the cross yet, or at least I had a new level of understanding that I had yet to gain. And he said, well, because I can't have a pastor talk or preach about my grace, the fact that sins are as far as the east is from the west, that I throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, that the cross covers everything, that confession, that once you confess, that I'll forgive you of your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness, like just item by item, and said, I can't have you preach about that if you don't know how to apply it to your own life and live that out. And I felt the Lord say, she's confessed. She's a new creature. She's a new creation. I've made her new. These are things that were a part of her past. And so I want to pause. And, you know, it was a really big moment for me because I felt like a light bulb went off. And I thought, that's what the cross does. That's what Jesus died for, is that you actually would not be the same person that you were when you were making those decisions. And it was even a moment, I don't even know if I've shared this part with you, but it helped click where I remember you distinctly saying, I'm willing to do it, but it'll be really hard because I don't even feel like I'm that person. Mm-hmm. It feels like it was a different girl.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think I understood that was actually the case until that moment with the Lord.
Wow.
Where he was like, no, she's not, you're asking her to tell you what another person did. Now, that's because it's on the other side of confession. It's on the other side of repentance. It's on the other side of giving your life to the Lord. These weren't active sins. This isn't this wasn't an active lifestyle that you're operating in.
And I had confessed to someone. Like, right. I did the play-by-play, the renouncing everything. Like, I had broken off shame for every moment I could remember with a mentor and leader in my life. So it wasn't that I was in shame still or in hiding.
Yeah.
It was more of just for our relational sake.
Yeah. And so I felt God really clearly just say, I need to teach you more about who I am and what I've done because you haven't understood that. And that was the moment where I realized the woman I'm marrying is not the girl that did those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's two different people. And a light bulb just went off. And we talk about this all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we share your past stories. Mm-hmm. Moments in back seats, in between the sheets, movie theaters, like all the lines. And truthfully, since that day, I've not even almost been bothered by one story or one thought. It feels like I see it in my own heart. Oh, that's not Caitlin that did those things.
Right.
Like this, my wife didn't do those things with those other men. Like my wife has only been with me because it really truly feels like that level of renewal and redemption for me. In my own mind, in my own thought, because the Lord brought me through that. Now, I know that not everybody that's in this boat has had that revelation. One of the things I really encourage people, if you're the person like me that's struggling with their past, the prayer right now to me for you would be, God, would you give me a deeper understanding of the cross?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always tell people to pray for.
Yeah.
Get a deeper understanding of the cross. Would you reveal to me what the work of the cross has done? Now, I want to be clear again. We're not talking about if your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife is currently actively in sin.
Yeah.
Not like pornography. Those things need to be confessed. Those things need to be worked through. And I would also say, Kate needed to offer the opportunity for me to hear these
things.
Mm-hmm. Like, you should speak to that quick.
Because I think, like I tried to paint the picture before, I think if there is a desire to hold it so tightly and to stay hidden and keep it in the dark because you're basing it off of fear of man, like, is this going to break my relationships with this person, with other people? Are they going to, like, if they really knew what happened, like, if you're hiding because you're afraid of what man's opinion's going to be, that's not a good idea. The second thing is if it feels shameful where you're like, I can't even imagine speaking these things like out of my lips, like these detestable things that happened to me or that I was a part of. And those are the moments that I'm so passionate about finding that righteous person in your life to share with, because there were moments that I hadn't done that before for years. And when I finally did with a leader in my life and we prayed, there could be nothing else in my past that was giving me shame that was causing me just that kind of taunting and tormenting of the enemy of the what ifs, like what if they found out, what if they really knew. Those silenced the second I shared them. So we always share to lose the shame. It's about who and when. And I don't think it's this repetitive, I need to do it all the time with everybody. My one person has got the play-by-play in my life, and it's actually my current mother-in-law.
Your current mother-in-law. What does current mother-in-law mean? What are you intending?
Means, because at the time she was just Cole's mom, but we weren't married yet. And so I'm like, it's just amazing that it actually, the leader in my life at that time is now my mother-in-law. But I just love that because it seems like the person in the world that you actually might not want to know the most would be your mother-in-law. Yeah. And I just, it holds no weight because of the blood of Jesus and because of the cross.
Okay, so I have six steps for the people that are, hey, I'm working on letting go of things, forgiving things, moving on, seeing my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my spouse differently, assuming that this person has confessed, owned it, cleaned up their own messes, and, you know, are on the right path. Number one, acknowledge the pain. You know, so here's the thing. It is true. Scripture is very clear on the unity of covenant marriage. We are two people that became one flesh. My body is hers. Her body is mine. I had to grieve the fact that she had given herself to other people. Like, I needed to grieve that. It isn't healthy to just act as if that's not a thing.
Yeah.
And if that didn't hurt.
Yeah. You can't avoid all emotions.
Funny enough, talked through some of that with my mom.
Yeah.
Of, man, this is really hard. This really hurts. This is really challenging. I don't like picturing this, you know, all of those things. It's okay to give yourself time to grieve that. Like this, because once we entered into covenant, there was a connection and a oneness of flesh that was created that applied to things that happened before covenant and after covenant. Like that's the power of that. Just like the cross worked for people before and after. And the cross, what Jesus did, works for people in 2023, 2024, 2030, the same way it did 2,000 and some years ago when he died. And so it is important for that. You have to grieve that, acknowledge that, talk with the right people in the right way, even talk to your spouse. Like, man, it does really hurt that this is a reality, that this was a reality. Now, you can't live there. And I'm going to turn them in, like reverse the order here, then we actually have them in my notes in what would be on the blog that you'll see. But so step one is acknowledge the pain and process that. Step two, though, is find closure. Like, you can't then have your spouse be in this unending space of this hurt them and they're working on forgiving me. Hopefully they'll get there. We don't know when it's going to happen. Like, that can't, you can't give them that level of unsafety and uncertainty and anxiety of where you stand with each other.
Yeah, there's got to be a moment where you're, like, in a sense, closing this door, because it can't be something you're going to keep paying for, bring up in a painful situation, throw in their face in an argument. Like, it's got to have a closed door. So finding the closure.
I have never one time in our
20 years together,
pulled on her past to use as I'd have to have forced myself to do that. Like, there's never been a time where it's like, oh, I've screwed up and I've done something wrong, and I said, yeah, well, you da 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 da. You have to commit to, okay, I'm going to work through this, the frustration, the pain, whatever the language you want to use is, acknowledge the brokenness, but I'm going to find closure. Like, I'm going to set a time with the Lord and say, this is what I need to move on from this by. And it needs to not be some long drive. This can't be years. It really shouldn't even be months. Like, this needs to be, man, Lord, I need to come to a place to give them peace, to give me peace, to settle. And if I can't get there, then you know what? For their sake, I probably need to consider the fact that I'm not healthy enough to be in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I want to be real specific on this. The lack of health isn't them or their past. The lack of health is your lack of ability to see them the way Jesus does. So if you get to that point, make sure the narrative in the conversation is correct. Mm-hmm. I'm not healthy enough to forgive you the way that I should. And we can't keep making them pay the price for things that God already paid the price for.
Mic drop.
Boom. Okay, number three, seek godly counsel. I wouldn't process it alone. Yeah. You know, do you have somebody in your life that understands grace, that understands justice, that understands right and wrong, but then carries the right and wrong with a gracious understanding of what the work of the cross and what he did, so that that person can help you really process through how to love, how to forgive, how to move on, how to see them differently. Mm-hmm. I think that's your ultimate goal, is you need to see them the way Christ does, and that is a totally new person. Mm-hmm. They put off their old self. They put on their new self. They actually became new, and using godly counsel to walk you through that.
And I think ideally, if you could find godly counsel that knows both of you and can walk with both of you, because you're both going to have emotions. So it'd be really awesome to have somebody looking at both of the emotions you're facing and feeling through this process. And two, because we've been in this work long enough to hear stories of things that weren't disclosed, that was kind of like, oh, I used to struggle with this, but it was like, no, it was a major struggle. It was, should have been red flags. It's kind of nice to have that godly counsel to be able to look and say, hey, are you sure you've disclosed everything? Are you sure they've disclosed everything? Are you sure you're comfortable with this? Because I think actually sometimes in the church, there can be just this over spiritualization of, we don't want this to come away as Jesus forgave me, you do too. You know, like, what if you have current partners that they actually didn't know that you were still seeing? Like, there's just so many layers.
Yep.
So it's good to have godly counsel that's kind of like an oversight for both people,
right,
instead of just in his corner or just in my corner. Somebody that sees both of us, loves us, and wants the best for us.
Absolutely. Okay. Number four. Speak your forgiveness out loud. Like, it was really important once I had this revelation that I communicate to her, actually, I don't need to hear this. God showed me how new you are. God showed me that you're not the same person. God showed me how powerful the cross was and that you're redeemed. And I see that now. Like, I didn't see that before. It's really important that you use words to communicate. I see you as the new creation that I couldn't see before, and that you're able to verbalize that.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the moment that we talked about that, like, I felt like the weight that it seemed like it took off of your shoulders when I said, actually, I don't need to hear this.
Yeah.
Like, speak to that for a second.
Well, it was beautiful because you didn't need to hear, but I think hearing in a sense how the Lord, my father, it felt like a moment of like him seeing me and knowing me on another level too. It felt like even like a defensive dad of just like, I see you, like, cause part of me was like, is this right or wrong? We weren't listening to podcasts about the topic, you know? And I was very willing to do whatever it took to make sure we made the healthiest choices in our relationship. So it was very like, it was just, it feels like just this, the fresh breeze of just crazy grace. Like,
oh, I am new.
Yeah. Like, that's what I thought. Okay. Thanks God. You know? So yeah, it felt amazing. And
So communicate how you see them new, how you do forgive them, how you're moving on. You're not going to hold this over them. And then pray together, like really allow the Lord to solidify. Hey, we are calling out the new creation. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I've got lots of areas that I needed to be a new creation in too. They weren't maybe on the Christian sin list, you know, there's acceptable Christian sins and then there's not acceptable ones. You did the not acceptable ones, but I've dealt with lots of pride. Like there's ones that we seem to accept that are just as damaging, right?
Yeah.
And so taking time to do that. Okay, last two. Number five, keep your heart clean. Once you have acknowledged it, once you've worked through it, once you've communicated that forgiveness, you found the closure, you've spoken the forgiveness, you've done this with godly counsel, don't let your mind wander back to old things. Like, we've actually come across some of these guys that she's been with. I know some of them. You can be tempted to let your mind, oh, what'd you do with that one, right? You can't let your mind go there. If you have committed to seeing them the way God does, then our mind doesn't get, the only place our mind wanders is into redemption. It never wanders back into the past. We have to have mental self-control to only think about how redeemed our partner is, not how damaged they were or what they went through or whatever that is. And then the last one comes all the way back to the beginning. Learn or relearn the power of the cross. It's probably step number one, step number six. You could make it, you could make this 12 steps, and every other step is learn and relearn the power of the cross. The greatest gift you could give to both of you is going on a journey. Read through the crucifixion. Read through the, how do we as humans, how does the blood of Jesus relate to us as humans? Go on a journey to remember and rediscover, mm-hmm. what is forgiveness? What is redemption? Why did he have to die on the cross? Who did he forgive? What is the significance of him forgiving a lifelong criminal and the thief who only lived a matter of moments for God and yet got to go to heaven? The significance of Jesus on the cross while he's being mocked, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you and show you and reveal to you, what does the cross actually do for the human heart? And then apply that to the relationship that God has given you. If you can learn to apply the power of the cross to the relationship that you have, especially with your spouse or your future spouse, you will have the strongest marriage of anybody you know. Because the blood of Jesus, the work on the cross that covers everything, and it teaches us how to love way better than we ever knew we could love. And so the ultimate goal here, figure out how to get to really lean into the Holy Spirit and understand, what did Jesus's work do for you, for your relationship, for your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your spouse?
Amazing. So thanks, guys. That's all for today. We'll link the blogs in the show notes. I'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.